This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Elizabeth II's funeral is set for the 19th. What's happening in the meantime? We'll talk about it. Plus, a very big day of remembering a horrible time in our lives, 9/11. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, hope you had a great weekend. It was a somber weekend for lots and lots of people. Do you remember where you were on 9/11, 21 years ago, remembering the tragic events as I was working in New York? I've talked about it many, many times. Almost 3,000 Americans were killed. So the president laid a wreath at the Pentagon. Jill Biden, the first lady, was in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. There were events at all three sites where the strikes happened, including what I think is pretty powerful when they read the names of those who died. And there were communities, my community had a wonderful 9/11 ceremony, so many flags, and they have a really beautiful monument by the water. But there were candlelight vigils, there were all kinds of commemorations, and, you know, it's a day that, by the way, is federally recognized as Patriots Day, and a national day of service and remembrance, too. So it, I think of the ceremonies, you think of Shanksville and the crew, the passengers, and that Flight 93, and the plane went down after passengers, and the crew, remember, tried to storm the cockpit. So they did the names of the passengers, too, and the crew members. They read them, then they rang the bells of remembrance, and that started at 10:03 a.m. That was the moment it actually, you know, crashed. And certainly it's a day that America changed, and it's a day that I hope we don't forget, and we always remember, never forget what happened and how many lives were lost, and how things really, really changed, and being still so vigilant as to where are we now and how safe do you feel? That's always a question in this country since 9/11 and some of the changes that were made government-wise when it comes to being able to access the nefarious elements that would like to see Americans die. And what has happened in that amount of time, and increasingly scary, right, especially afterwards. And for me, being there and seeing what that was like and going into the city and seeing posters of names of people and people desperate for any information, praying that there was something they didn't know, that maybe somehow they were still alive. Queen Elizabeth II's death on Thursday has led to a new era, of course. King Charles III was formally proclaimed as the monarch on Saturday. There was what they call an accession ceremony that happened in London. It officially marks him being the new ruler, of, so to speak, of England. And he stepped in. In the way tradition is, and all the symbolism, and there was a live broadcast, and after the proclamation, Buckingham Palace announced Queen Elizabeth's state funeral is going to be held on the 19th, and her casket will lie in state for 4 days so that the public can pay respects. You can bet that that will be completely jammed. At this point, the flag draped casket is in Edinburgh in Scotland, and you know, even the arrival there through the countryside and through the city, it was packed with people who were throwing flowers and remembering the queen who died at the age of 96. Think of the reign. Think of the time of Queen Elizabeth II in her young 20s and then all the way up to 96 years old. Wow. Just a journey. A journey. Her life was a journey through time, and now it's this journey from Balmoral to Edinburgh, Scotland, and then ultimately being flown to London and being moved to Buckingham Palace on Wednesday to the Houses of Parliament. That's where she will, like I said, lie in state until that funeral at Westminster Abbey on the 19th. So lots of conversation about her significance in history and what it's like now, and you know what it's going to be like now in this new era, and what happens next, and all the pageantry of what it's like in the royal family, in the monarchy, and you know Prince William is now the Prince of Wales, and his wife Kate is the Princess of Wales, because he would be next in line after Charles. And he said he's going to serve the country with humility and great respect. So he was given the title when his father, of course, the previous Prince of Wales, ascended to the throne following the death of Queen Elizabeth the second. And people are fascinated by the royals, not just in the UK and not just in Europe, but I think many people in the United States are really curious about all of this. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because we broke away, if you remember, as the best we could. You think of the founding fathers and you think of the Revolutionary War and parting with England, but there are deep roots and there are plenty of us who have English roots if we trace our ancestry back, and that makes it rather interesting too as well. All right, coming up this hour, besides the conversation here at the top, we have Fair or Foul, plus a couple of fabulous authors that we're going to be talking about. This is a big month, really, for books. There are all kinds of ceremonies about reading, and there are books that come out now and books that are talked about because we're getting to that time, just like the movies, where this is big for book sales because you're coming up to the holidays, etc. And I think everybody has a story. I think that, honestly, I've said this before, I think there's a book in every single one of us. I do. I think there is much that should be in books that isn't. I think there are people that are wonderful storytellers that it would be fantastic if they could use that gift. But it's easy to say you're going to write the book, and it's so often difficult to get over the hurdle of actually doing it. So I am always thrilled to highlight authors when we can here on the show. Other things that happened over the weekend included Tropical Storm Kay. The good news is Southern California sadly got a little bit of flooding and had some problems with the rain, but it also cooled things off, because temperatures have been like 105, 106. It's crazy temperatures. People complaining in Southern California how awful it is. So at least a little bit cooled off. Fair or Foul coming up.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
My favorite things that we do here on the show is something called Fair or Foul.
Signal fair. Me? After the fair.
It's a hard foul there.
Fakes on a fair.
What a hard foul.
Invalid fair signal.
It's a hard foul.
It's a hard foul. Jeremy Paulson joins us for Fair or Foul. Jeremy, how about your Vikings with a big win? So what's the scoop on
that? They looked
that?
Good. They looked good.
They look good. So you think Kirk Cousins really is the real deal?
Well, I always thought he was a good quarterback. I just felt like he lackluster decision-making in crunch time. You know, but he's always been able to make every throw. He can scramble if he needs to. Like, he's always been a good quarterback, even when he was with Washington, you know.
Yeah, but he is no Tom Brady.
Yeah, I think like when it comes to like the, like I must score this drive,
right.
You know, he'll make bad decisions. But if you keep him in the point where he doesn't have to worry about that, he can just like keep playing. You know, like if you're ahead by a couple touchdowns, so on and so forth, like he can do everything, you know.
Of course, he has pad, and the whole thing was they were blowing out the Packers, so he had that exact scenario you're talking about.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, there you go. So everybody happy this week with the first week of the NFL. And I shouldn't say everybody. Lots of people are unhappy. But I know there are many in our listening audience that are happy based on the demographics of where some of the teams are from. So for Fair or Foul, because it is the first week in the NFL, some people really go all out. I mean, they dress the part. You know, they paint their face. They go to the games and tailgate hours ahead of time. Their wardrobe is head to toe, all what their team is. Grown men in their 40s, 50s, 60s,
20s. Yeah, we're
20s.
Children in heart. We're
so
children
you say,
inside.
So you say face painters fair.
Yes, we're children inside. We're celebrating. We're having fun.
Well, I agree with you about the having fun part. The only thing I would not like is the sloppy, drunk, obnoxious, screaming idiots.
Yeah. I don't not drink, that. So I don't get to that point. But
well, see,
that,
yeah, there I you get go. That. Yeah. I mean, hey, some drinks is fine, but people that are just over the top and harassing people, please. That's
yeah,
the bad
and
part.
Didn't you say you're a Philly fan?
I grew up outside of Philadelphia, yes.
And what are you talking about again?
Right. And see, everyone pegs Philly with that. But the thing is, with Philadelphia, they remove you right now. I mean, there's no way. You start doing something, you are out of there. You're gone. Gone.
Yeah.
Actually, the worst I've ever seen anything, of all the rivalries, it wasn't a football game. Boston Red Sox and the Yankees, it's scary sometimes. I've been in both Fenway and in Yankee Stadium. The old one and the new one for that, for some of those games. And even though I had press passes, I was in the crowd and I didn't like it. I thought it felt unsafe in some of the places. Isn't that weird?
Kind of makes you feel like those European soccer games when
yes.
they're in those big rivalries.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
We should maybe leave because I don't want to get beat up.
Yeah, I don't want to. All right, so how about this? Crypto as the future currency, fair or foul? Do you think more people will adopt it, and do you think it becomes really viable?
I don't think so. I mean, I personally am not in the crypto. I don't have any cryptocurrency. But my roommate does. I don't know. I don't think so, though, because I don't know. I could see
no,
it.
I agree.
It's very, like, easy access. You know, you don't have to worry about money or nothing, and that's kind of the era we're in, you know?
Right.
Like, I can just use my phone to pay it. I don't want to, you know, dig anything out, you know? So.
No, I think I agree with you. I've talked about this before in the air, and we've played it. I've had a conversation with Steve Forbes, and he said not viable. He liked blockchain, so he likes the idea of that. Blockchain's great, but he said crypto, it'll never get backed. It'll never, ever be a viable currency. And here's the other thing about it. It takes up, people are talking about electricity and, oh, how we have to reduce the footprint and da da da.
It burns up. To make it, though.
Right, it takes that to make it. So that's also dangerous, too, if you think about talking about grids being broken into. We're talking about, you know, talking about computers and warehouses and the farms you would have for that. So I think it's interesting, but and you're right, this is the era we're in, but I don't think it ever becomes viable.
Well,
I don't.
The other big thing is, like, we like to use currency that's been out forever because you're basically recycling.
Yes.
You know, you're using the currency that's already been printed because it's already out in fluctuation. Like,
Right.
So.
I agree. All right, so how about this? What happens when people deviate from what you expect? So like the Golden Arches. In 95, they had the McHot Dog. In the 70s, they had McSpaghetti. McSpaghetti, that's what they called it. In 75 to 84, they had Onion Nuggets. Fair or foul?
I've never heard of any of these.
Right. That's what I'm telling you, because they experimented and they bombed. McHot Dog. I'll have a McHot Dog and a McSpaghetti
and
a Big Mac.
And lose multiple years of your life eating a hot
no
dog.
No kidding. Angioplasties. Please, sign me up. I don't know. I think there's something. I get it. I think that sometimes the big food chains, especially drive-thrus, you know, the Wendy's, the Burger King's, the McDonald's, of course, they want to change up their menu because people say, oh, they, you know, why can't we, let's attract people who want to eat pasta. Let's attract everyone. We can be the everything to everyone. So I think it's fair when, I think it's foul when you're a business. I think it's better to niche at what you're good at.
It kind of sounds like Taco Bell. There's a thing that they're talking about Taco Bell is it's always the same ingredients on the inside. It's just how they portray it to
right.
you and what it's in. But
exactly,
it's always just meat,
it's the same
cheese,
stuff.
And lettuce and tomato.
Right, it's just whatever it is. The Mexican pizza, the whatever. You're right.
Like the
yeah.
same three ingredients. It's just what do we put it in? Do we put it in a fried shell? Do we put it in a regular shell? You know. Like.
Right. What are we doing with it? All right, so how about this? We're starting to see this everywhere. There's two new all-electric Jeep SUVs that were just unveiled, right? And it seems like every day or every week I'm hearing about another car company or another company that's coming up with something that's electric. So how do you feel about electric versus gas becoming a reality?
I think it's a good thing. I think they're trying to go too fast, though. Like, they need to develop the electric, spectrum first, or the grid, electrical grid first, because they're having that crisis, right, in the South California or something, where they're, like, the grid, and they have too much electric cars out there, and the grid's not powering it, you know?
Well, because they have problems with the pull on electricity, which some people say, oh, that's baloney. It's not going to happen. But I wonder about that, too, because when do you top off with electricity? Think about asking people to power down electricity when we have these heat waves, when we've had things happen with. So what? Tell me the difference of that. So I agree, it's a good thing in a way, but what are we doing to? Because think of the amount of people, and think about the amount of people.
Yeah, I feel like they should have jumped and built the grid up way more. You know, like they should have bought out so much land, put like windmills everywhere, put freaking multiple fields of solar, you know, panels. Like, they should have built up the grid before they're like, hey, everyone, let's get electric cars.
Yeah, and made it a rule that in California that it's electric or nothing eventually.
Yeah. I see that.
Yeah. So good in theory, but in execution, that's part of the problem.
Yep, that's what I think.
Yeah. All right, how about you're in the music business or you're around the music. So what do you think about the ticket prices for, like, the Bruce Springsteen shows and the big shows where there are thousands and thousands of dollars? Because, really, the companies have a monopoly on them.
I remember when concerts were like $50.
That was 100 years ago. Yeah, not anymore.
I remember when sports events were like $60 to go to.
Yeah. No, you're lucky if you get away with hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
And it's not more. And where are the seats? I mean, you know, I've been looking at concerts and looking at what they, you know, what they cost. And
$150 for nosebleed seats. Yeah, it's a little ridiculous.
And if it's nosebleed seats, can you really feel like you're at the concert?
Right. I got my binoculars.
Might as well stay home, you know. I'm going to Stevie Nicks in a couple months, and it wasn't thousands of dollars, but and I know someone that knows someone, but if you don't, forget it. It's just ridiculous. I was looking at, like, Kiss. So for a VIP package, $3,500.
Right.
Wow.
Sell my car real quick.
Oh, what you can do with that money. That's so insane. So I say foul. I know you say foul, too. All right, Jeremy, thanks. Great job as always.
You're welcome.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News. Ceremonies in New York, Arlington, Virginia, and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania remembered the 9/11 terrorist attacks from 2001. President Biden touted the killing of two al-Qaeda leaders during his speech at the Pentagon, vowing to disrupt terrorist activities wherever they exist. The coffin of Queen Elizabeth II arrived in Edinburgh after a long, solemn procession on Sunday. King Charles and Queen Consort Camilla will be there on Monday.
Ukrainian troops continue to press forward as the Russian-occupied nuclear power plant captures the most attention due to it being at the center of the fighting. The Zaporizhia plant has shut down its last operational reactor as a safety precaution. Barbarian topped the box office this weekend with $10 million. Brahmastra Part 1 Shiva, Bullet Train, Top Gun Maverick, and DC League of Super Pets round out the top five. I'm Kenneth Burns, USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
London joins us. Her book is called Mystery of Stereotypes, A Guide to Self-Understanding and Empathy. Thank you so much, Dr. London, for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about stereotypes. What drove you to write this book?
Well, it was a eureka moment for me. I had lived in the United States for about 4 years and had quite gotten used to and was utterly spoiled by the specific appurtenance of hot and cold water, which I could blend to my desired temperature for showers and baths. What a guilty pleasure. And then I returned to my country of birth, which is Guyana, for a visit. When I stepped into the shower, I shrieked and realized that the water was cold. Yes, it was the same temperature it had always been throughout my years of growing up, but my altered recent experience in the United States had pampered me and changed my perception of what should be commonplace. And it was in that moment that I understood why the missionaries from the United States who visited our home from time to time, my dad having been a pastor, those missionaries, I thought, only liked to rely on cosmetics. So from my enlightened perspective, then, I understood that my misconception of them was a product of my lack of exposure. Stereotypes generally say more about us than they do about the people who are being stereotyped. And it was the aftermath of this revelation, this insight, this flash, this profound realization, compounded with my heightened alertness as I began to travel to various countries and to observe how different people respond to situations or interact with others or make assumptions or use varying tones during discussions. It was after all of these observations and focused alertness that I embarked upon the nature of stereotypes, hence the genesis of this book.
So let's talk about the book. And as you say, you really named it well, Mystery of Stereotypes, A Guide to Self-Understanding and Empathy. So what will we learn in your book?
Well, really, the book comes out at an auspicious moment when our society is fraught with disaster and strife. It crafts the tool whereby we can understand the origins, mechanisms, and functions of stereotypes. It explains how stereotypes are formed, and that in reality, they start off with noble intentions for our survival and safety. And then they devolve into complex social issues. It explains why we need stereotypes, and it examines the important roles of culture, philosophy, and our entire Welt Anschauung as a whole in interpreting everything around us and how they affect and influence the choices we make and our perceptions regarding food or physical appearance or colorism, racism, whether it be intraracial or interracial, gender roles, work, school, relationships, ageism, intelligence. Stereotypes are foregone conclusions. They pigeonhole people. They label. They profile. They categorize. They box in people. They are pervasive. They are endemic. They are ubiquitous. And that's why this book equips us with requisite strategies to help alleviate our feelings of guilt and its attendant shame, of blaming, scapegoating, and these problematic shards or splinters of stereotyping fall away as we shift to a place of accountability, and we can feel like, you know what, I can do something about this. And so the book opens our eyes to this enlightenment.
Wow. And for you, I mean, you've traveled extensively. You've seen it. You mentioned it where you had that eureka moment when you knew you had to do this book. What do you hope people take away from reading your book? And I think you're saying it.
Thank you. Well, we all contribute in subtle conscious and unconscious ways to the dilemmas, the atrocities, the discomfort, marginalizations, microaggressions, brutality, barbarity, inhumanity, injustice. And all of these are created by stereotypes. We subscribe to beliefs and practices in our everyday lives because eventually the stereotypes to which we subscribe, we cannot say this too much, say more about us than they do about the people to whom they are targeted. But we need not hang our heads in shame. The book heightens our awareness as we look in the mirror to work on ourselves, to challenge ourselves, to introspect, to self-examine, to sentinel ourselves and our actions, to reflect, and then to begin to improve our daily interactions as individuals and as a society, to enhance our worldview and to become more vigilant as we use this roadmap towards heightened awareness and awakening, to dig deeper within ourselves in order to live more nobly, more honestly, more peaceably, so that we can contribute to a more harmonious world.
Wow, wouldn't that be wonderful? I mean, what a great goal for this book. One of the things that you talk about in the book is you talk about the inherent dangers of stereotype formation, and that's part of, as you mentioned, where we are. That's part of the problem that we see day in and day out, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yes,
and
they are yes, there are dangers in that as we form them because they are so quickly made. We make quick observations and In that speedy making of these stereotypes, dangers are lurking everywhere.
That's right, because the instant judgment in not really knowing a person. So what happens? It kind of, and you say it, you say this book examines how stereotypes barge their way into our consciousness and affect our interactions in society. And you talk about that you know, this book communicates some observations you've made about life, and it challenges people to dig deeper within ourselves to live more nobly, more honestly, and look at the dynamics, of course, of stereotypes. Once you put this book together and put it out there, how did that feel to you? Which, by the way, you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. How did that feel to you?
You know what? I feel unburdened because I feel like finally it's out, because this book has been in the making for actually several years, you know, and I'm glad that it's finally out, and I'm happy that people can access it, and I honestly hope that everybody will just get a copy, because this is something for all of us. It is not just for one person, and nobody needs to feel guilty about anything because we're equally involved, all of us.
I like that. We're equally involved. And, you know, again, how you started, Mystery of Stereotypes, A Guide to Self-Understanding and Empathy. And empathy now more than ever, don't you think that is so vital?
It is so vital today. You know, we need to push guilt away and just pull empathy in. Pull in empathy because, you know, it is understanding ourselves. When we love ourselves and we understand ourselves, we will understand all the people all the more. So it starts with us. It's a personal journey, actually, for each of us. And nobody has arrived there as yet.
Yeah. And I like, too, what you do in the book where you include well-known stereotypes, right? And one of them you put in there, well, I just laughed out loud, women can't parallel park as well as men.
Well, you know, well, stereotypes do not arise, are not born in a vacuum. You know, we observe things, and I may know some people even who do not parallel park who happen to be women. Possibly myself. Who knows?
I like that. Possibly myself. And then for all my British friends listening, you say British, and this is another stereotype, British people are incredibly polite, reserved, and well-mannered.
Right.
Oh, I know some that would break that mold.
Oh, yes. Again, you know. So that's just what's so wrong about this whole thing. You know, we make quick judgments. And yes, some people are polite. And yes, some women cannot parallel park. But does that mean all of them? No. And that's where we have to make allowances for individuality, which is what we don't do when we stereotype.
Yes, absolutely. What a delight to have you on again, Dr. London. Mystery of Stereotypes, A Guide to Self-Understanding and Empathy. Thank you so much. Pick up the book. It's a game changer. Thanks.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you for having me.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you watching your retirement savings melt away right in front of your eyes as the economy crumbles? Well, if you have an IRA, 401k, or similar account, I need to tell you about a better way that was revealed by a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Simply put, you can opt out of the insanity and convert your existing retirement account into the most stable physical asset in history. Physical gold and silver. Plus, this conversion might qualify you for an IRS loophole that could save you even more. Today, Advantage Gold is giving away a completely free audiobook version of the national bestseller, Gold is a Better Way. Just text the word better to 48542 to get your copy. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. By the time you drive home, this simple step may save the future value of your retirement. It's not too late if you're not prepared. You can take action now and claim a free copy. Text the word better to 48542. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. Message and data rates may apply.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to gcntaxcut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. gcntaxcut.com, gcntaxcut.com.
The name of the book is Too Early, Too Late, Now What? We have the author David Hawk with us. David, thanks for bumping on with us.
Yep, that is the author, and that's the title. There's two versions of it. I think you're talking about the second one with a better cover.
There you go. So tell us about it.
Well, it's a reprint of a book written back in 1979 at the end of a two-year research project I did, international project with 20 major companies and 6 governments involved, and done while I was based at the Stockholm School of Economics in Sweden. And so I did this project during 2 years on environmental deterioration and what to do about it. And we concluded at the end that we were approaching climate change far worse than where we started the project. And so we wrote this book at the end, which became my dissertation for my PhD at the Wharton School of Business, and took them almost a year to review it because it was extremely controversial. Most people had never heard of the idea of climate change. And the dean came out strongly against it, did his best to make sure I couldn't graduate, but he failed. The president overrode him. And then students rebelled against the dean, and they published the thesis. I didn't. So they became the publishers of this book in 79. And then it sort of laid there for 40 years, and most people didn't care much about climate change 40 years later. And so it meant something to the companies involved. You know, in fact, Exxon at the time, Exxon CEO was involved in the project, so was Texaco's, and they were very much behind the work. and they were strong supporters and helped very, very much. But they both got replaced by their boards with, shall we call them, Texas oil men, which changed the companies and got rid of the idea of climate change. Anyway, 40 years later, I had this republished with Arthur House as Too Early, Too Late, Now What? That was because the University of Princeton came back to me and wanted to do the republishing. That was because back in 79, Princeton president quite liked the dissertation, particularly since the dean of the Wharton School didn't like it. I think they were enemies or something. And he you know, was deceased when an editor came back to me and wanted to republish it under Princeton Press. And I said, fine. And I sent him the document. And then I gave him this title, Too Early, Too Late, Now What? And he was very upset with the title, upset with the cover, upset with me, as most people are, I guess. And he wanted me to send him a new cover with a clear title, not this ambiguity of Too Early, Too Late. He hated that. So I put together a new cover and a new title and sent it to him. And he called me back and said, based on this, he would never talk to me again.
Wow.
He could never have it. And the new title I sent him with, shall we say, clarity was Humans Are F***ed. And he somehow didn't think Princeton Press should publish a book with such a title. And so he, shall we say, moved on. A few weeks later, an editor from Arthur House contacted me and said, we'd love to publish that book, which a Princeton editor was talking about over lunch and hated, and we'd like to publish it, but could we publish it with the ambiguous title, not the clear title?
Right. So you went back to that.
So I gave them the Too Early, Too Late, not when they published it.
So here's the thing. Let me stop you there, because we want to tell people that are listening, they want to know what's in the book. We know that you went through this horrible time of getting it out there, but you did this incredible research at a really esteemed university, and now here it is, and it is the document's easy to understand and very clear. So what are some of the things that you, in your research, what are some of the nuggets that are in the book?
Well, I worked closely with these companies, and what we were studying was regulation and also studying the generation of pollution in refineries and factories. And we found such things as those out in the refinery and on the edge had a better idea of what to do than those did in headquarters, which was startling at the time, because we thought the engineers in headquarters were smarter, and they weren't. The people out working in the factories tended to be smarter, and that was somewhat phenomenal. But then we found that the regulation simply wasn't working in the area of environmental protection. And we went into some detail to show why it wasn't working and why it was pretty sad for humans, because they were counting on it. So anyway, we used the facilities, say the refineries or the factories, and use the companies that had several refineries in several countries. And that way we could compare the actual output of pollution based on the regulation mode that was being used by the government. And we got some startling results, such as the U.S. legislation in the area was about 10,000 pages long. And the legislation in Sweden, which also had Exxon and Texaco refinery, was 25 pages long. And the refinery and the factories in Sweden were far cleaner than the ones in the U.S. And we were somewhat shocked at how badly the U.S. regulation performed, even though it's much tougher, longer, whatever. And a minister in the Swedish government made a pronouncement in the press when he was talking about the project, said that we Swedes are a bit strange. We're not like the Americans at all. we believe in order to obey the law, you should understand it. Obviously, Americans don't believe that. And that caused quite a bit of dissension in various quarters in the U.S. because they were being made fun of. But nonetheless, we had quite a number of things going on in the project, one of which was a man called Black, chief scientist for Exxon, worked closely with me in the study. And he came out with a paper in 1977 as part of the project on climate change. And he was one of the first to seriously use the word climate change. And he made a presentation to the, shall I say, managers of Exxon that was done in New Jersey. I went with him to the presentation. And he presented climate change and why Exxon had to get out of fossil fuels, why it was crucial. And the audience believed him. It was amazing how the Exxon people were ready to look for other sources of energy. It was quite amazing. And in fact, the CEO of Exxon at the time was really quite interested and began to give some lectures about my work and about Black's work. And so it made a bit of news. Nonetheless, the board of directors at Exxon got very unhappy with him. And I think 4 years later fired him and replaced him with a Texas oil man who thought climate change was a hoax. So then Exxon went off on its trip. And I had similar experiences with some of the other companies. But during the time, we had quite a few people in the companies very much behind the idea that humans were headed for a dead end. And so a pretty grim future if they didn't do something radically different. Anyway,
and now here it is re-released, and people can read about those findings and all the things that you've mentioned sprinkled in here in the book, Too Early, Too Late, Now What? And you can get that on Amazon. David, thanks for coming sure. on.
Sure, sure. Well, there's a book underway addressing the Now What, which I think you'd find maybe more interesting.
There you go. Now What? Same thing. So look for that. Yeah.
And one more point on that. A major problem that I found in this work is the idea of management. And the major problem with management has to do with the first three letters.
Yeah.
And so I put together a scheme on management, on the urgency of replacing masculine managers with feminine managers. It's quite urgent.
Right,
so
there you go.
Yeah,
there you go. Now what? All right, so David, thank you.
You're welcome.
Feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.